mind today. There's so many people that have great wealth in terms of the material, but they don't have peace of mind, and they can't enjoy anything that they have. How many know without peace in your heart, amen, and joy in your soul, you can't find in things those qualities. And I'm just grateful today because I do have peace of mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. What mind there has got peace in it. Hallelujah. Amen. You may question how much mind I've got, but I've got peace in what I have. And a lot of people are highly intelligent and don't have peace, and I wouldn't trade brains with them. And I sure wouldn't trade lives with them and hearts with them. Praise God. I have Jesus living vibrantly in my life. Praise God. And I believe we should just, regardless of what the world does, the Holy Spirit has said something that I've said. I've often quoted what God said, and it's amazing to have God quote me. He said, it's true. The darker the night, the brighter light. You've heard that from this ministry. He said it's true biblically. Amen. It was a dark time in Israel, but the Messiah was going to come, and the Bible said, arise and shine. Darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness, Isaiah 60. The people. And when that happens, for arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee and shall be seen upon thee. So this is no time to draw back. Can you say amen? The Bible said, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He that puts his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. It means this is, how many know the plow means labor? That's where you get blisters, not bonuses. Can you say amen? Is anybody in here ever plowed with a mule? Anybody ever, or a horse, or actually put your hand to a plow, that kind of a plow? I mean, now they got big John Deere's, amen, that have air conditioning and stereophonic radio in it. Amen. And man sitting up saying, man, I plowed 10 acres today, sitting in a big John Deere with air conditioning and stereo. Amen. Driving that sucker up and down the roads. What a rough day. I had a guy tell me at work Friday, he said, oh, I got to get home before the rain. I got a yard that has to be mowed. He said, I got a riding mower and I'm going to persuade my son to get on it and mow the yard. And I thought, oh, wow. I thought he was going to get out with a push mower. He's got a big riding mower. And of course, down here with the riding mower, it's still hot and it's a big job because we got a lot of lawn to mow in this place. And thank you. You that give bountifully, you're sowing bountifully, and the Lord is going to bless you and is blessing you. I believe is blessing you. Terry here still got his right mind after all of these years. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, most of it anyway. That's a blessing. I'm being a little bit comical here, but it's a blessing today. I know people troubled. And just to have peace, to get up this morning in your right mind, to get up with a body that functions, to get up with hope in your heart in a troubled time. You shine. You're like a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, God is good today. Heavenly Father, we bless this offering as we give of ourselves, and therefore we give of our substance to the work of the kingdom of God. What a privilege it is to invest directly into the kingdom of God. And Father, all of these other ways that we invest, the people who work on this building and the media ministry and just the caretaking, all the things that take a load off of me so I can be free, Lord, in the time that I do have to give myself to prayer and study and ministry of the Word of God. Father, I praise you for it today. I'm honored to be here in this little setting because God is big in this place, and we honor you here for honoring us with your presence. And everyone said amen and amen. And the Lord bless you this morning. Praise God. He's a gracious God and He is a good God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Ephesians. In the New Testament, this scripture I'll have to find. I just know it's in Ephesians. And God sometimes gives me the message the night before the service. Sometimes God gives me the message, during the service. Sometimes God puts me on the spot and doesn't give me any message at all yet until we get to church. So I don't know what I'm going to preach all the time. Sometimes He allows me to to know it all. And then other times he doesn't. And today, he just He just waited. That always puts me on the spot. So I'm in the book of Ephesians, and that's where I want to be. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 5, and let's begin reading at verse 14. I want to put a scripture in context that I know the Lord wants me to minister on, and we will, if it's okay, number 11 and then number 2. That's a 2. Yeah, 11 and 2 off of that disc, if you will, and we'll worship at the end of this service, just like we began worshiping at the beginning of this service. Listen to verse 14. We want to put a particular scripture in context, and we want to try to explain it a little bit. We want to talk about the Holy Ghost today. Amen. Now, there's an emphasis on the Holy Ghost that is out of the context of a lot of the more important ministries of the Holy Ghost. Let me make this very clear today. I love it when God comes down and kisses earth and I get caught right in the middle of the smack. I love the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. This is a Pentecostal church, but it doesn't mean that we put the Spirit above Jesus Christ here. Amen? Doesn't mean that we just want experiences in the Spirit and we don't want to grow and mature as Christians. Because there's no experience of the Holy Spirit that can make you spiritually mature. The Bible is very, very clear, amen, that we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. There is no place in Scripture that says you grow by having an experience. And a good example of that is in the Old Testament, where all of these wonders took place, all of these mighty miracles that God did to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. I mean, God sent supernatural plagues upon the land. God parted the mighty Red Sea. I mean, when He brought them out. His wonders were so pronounced and powerful that the Bible said He brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one. In other words, they gave them to get, just almost like they wanted to. Well, the Bible said they were glad to see them go initially, amen, because of all the pressure that was put on them through the plagues that God had brought, because He said, set my people go, and let my people go, set them free, and Pharaoh wouldn't listen, so God hardened his heart, amen. The Bible said God hardened. You think God would be trying to soften His heart, but He saw that there was no way He could soften His heart, so He just hardened His heart and said, okay, if you won't give them, I'm going to take them. Can you say amen? If you won't give them up, I'm going to take them. They're going to be free. The question is, are you going to not be punished in the process, or are you going to have to be pressured and punished in the process? I'm not asking you whether you will set them free. I'm telling you, the message was this: let my people go. God's diplomacy is a little bit different.
Yes, yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
The way He deals with things is He commands them. He's not asking. Someone asked me a question at work recently, not too recently, but they do it over and over again. And he asked me a question. I gave him a biblical answer. He didn't like the biblical answer. I could tell that he just didn't like what the Bible had to say. And he looked at me like, I don't like that. And I thought, well, you know, here at election time, it was a good opportunity to say, you know, last time I looked, God is not running for office. We don't get to vote on whether we want Him as our God. Amen. He's the Creator. We're the creation. This is not something you vote on. This is not a theocracy. This is not a democracy. If you're a Christian, this is a theocracy. It means that God is our King. Jesus is our Lord. Can you say amen? We don't debate these things. You may have a struggle with your flesh obeying these things, but it's indisputable that God has the prerogative to tell us what His will is for our life and what is sin and what is not.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Now, carrying that out, we'll all come in conflict with the flesh, but God has the indisputable right, amen, to speak forth His will. He's God. Hallelujah. So this is not something we can compromise or we can decide whether what we will take. This is not cafeteria Christianity where you take what you want and leave what you don't want. Amen. God serves the meal, and the Bible said we're to eat all of it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thy words were found. I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. You really surrender to God, and you're going to find joy. You're not going to find it a job to serve Jesus. You're going to find it a joy to serve Jesus. Can you say amen? And if a 20, and for all of you youth in here, all two of you, three of you, hallelujah, amen. If you want joy like that, you know what I'm saying? Because you're not going to find that joy in anything the world has to offer. If you want joy like that young lady had in Sweet Bay last night, and at the end of a long work day, and to still be up for the Lord. Sweet Bay, that's where we went. Sweet Bay, that's where we got the water. Publix was closed. Amen. I'm old, but I got a few cells left up here. We were in Sweet Bay. I just want you to know I knew where I was last night. Because my wife was looking at me, Sweet Bay? I said, yeah, but that's where we were. Sweet Bay is a grocery store. It used to be Cash and Carry. Okay, all right. You didn't hear that. You didn't hear the Sweet Bay testimony. Get the tape. It's good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You'll like it. And my son was so impressed. He says, Dad, you don't hear stuff like that all the time. You don't hear people, you know, talk about Jesus like that, or a Christian talking about God like that with such joy. And he was so impressed with that. And I'm glad that out in the public arena there are people that just love God. They're not standing on a soapbox. They're just using those terms and phrases that say, I love God and I'm blatant about it. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is so gracious and so good. And I forgot to tell you that. That was a good testimony too. But it was late and we had a lot of things to do. But listen, very, very carefully. God told him to let my people go. He refused to do it. And the Bible said something that many people have a problem with. Said that God hardened his heart. Can you say amen? Now, why did he do that? Because he said, I want you to know that this man that I sent by the name of Moses, who had Aaron to do the speaking, amen, in his behalf to you, did not come to bow down to you, to cower down to you, and to ask you about letting my people go. Can you say amen? He came to tell you what I said. No more, no less. Let my people go. Go was a divine command, not a diplomatic situation where we're trying to use all kinds of caution so that we don't incite someone. You know, this was an absolute command. Let my people go. And he refused to do that. Amen. So the Bible said, God said, okay, from this point on, you can't let my people go. I'm going to take them from you, that you might know that there is a God in the universe and there is a God in Israel and there is a covenant people and they do have a God and He does have control over the mightiest nations of the world. Amen. Somebody give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. If you're a believer in the weak, anemic Jesus that you've seen in an artist's conception that is a candidate for Geritol, you've got the wrong Jesus in view. He humbled himself to come here and die on that cross, but when he comes back, he's not going to be the same Jesus in the sense of that humble Nazarene that walked the shores of Galilee. He's going to be the glorified Jesus, and we're doing a new theme on the radio broadcast, and it's seeing Jesus like you've never seen him before. Jesus in the book of Revelation, amen, is not that guy that let them take him to a cross and nail him. He did that so we could be forgiven. He doesn't have to do that anymore. His hair was as wool. He's the judge of all flesh. Can you say amen? His eyes were a burning fire. He had a robe down to the feet. His feet were as burning burnished brass, and he had on a golden girdle, amen, that strapped around him. He was King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I'm the Omega, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm he that was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the wonderful Counselor, and the Prince of Peace, all rolled up in one. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. So God wasn't saying, amen, will you please allow my people to leave? His message was clear and concise. Let my people go. And then the Bible said he hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he could take them and demonstrate to the mightiest nation in the world at that time, there is a God in heaven and there is a God over the covenant people. You're dealing with a God, not a representative of the Hebrew people. You're dealing with God Almighty. I love to get God involved in my battles to where people are dealing with Him and not just me. And they, you know, that God takes up the fight. Let God arise.
Hallelujah.
And everything changes on the battlefield. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let them melt away, amen, like burning flax. Amen. Let them be blown away like the wind blows the smoke away. Can you say amen? And that's, you can see that same God, amen, operating to protect and provide for the covenant people in the book of Ezekiel when from Gog and Magog, from Russia and an allied nations allying with Russia to destroy the nation of Israel, that the Bible said that He put a hook in their jaw. You realize that's like catching a fish? Isn't that an amazing thing for God? He put a hook in their jaw. What does that mean? When they decided to attack His people, and that's yet to happen, but it's building right now in the Middle East. There is an alliance between Soviet Russia and Iran. As radical as Iran is, there is a relationship between Soviet Russia right now and Iran, which not only is an enemy of the United States, but more of an enemy of Israel, of modern Israel today. They have sworn to destroy Israel, and they are building toward that end right now. There will be a group of nations come against that little nation. And the Bible said in the book of Ezekiel, they will think to themselves that they are going to come upon a city without walls. That means an indefensible, because of the magnitude of force that is going to be brought against that little nation, it will look like it's indefensible. God works His mightiest miracles when it looks like people are indefensible. Oh, we might get to this scripture, we may not, but we're headed in that direction. Amen. Did you know that's how God works? I'm just kind of talking and preaching at the same time, but I'm giving you some scriptural references here in a few moments. But God absolutely works in behalf of seemingly indefensible people. And God waits until the whole world knows they are indefensible and there's no way out before He steps in. When He brought them out of Egypt, the Bible said He brought them out with gold and He brought them out with silver, and there was not one feeble one among them. Not only that, but anyone who was sick, too sick to take that journey, He healed them supernaturally so they were not sick anymore. The eldest of this entire nation of people, amen, was made strong enough for the journey supernaturally. Not one feeble one among them in Psalm 105. It's an incredible thing that God did. And then He did something else to show His might. Amen. He said, when they decided finally after the supernatural plagues and the death of the firstborn to let them go, He said when they walked out of that nation, almost 3 million people took the Exodus and moved out of Egypt, and the dogs, Little things that God is a stickler for detail. He said, when I deliver people, amen, not only can't the dogs bite them, they can't even bark at them. Amen. Now, I live in a neighborhood of barking dogs. You slam the door to get out of your car and it sets them off. Woo, 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 oh, oh. And then those dogs, which didn't hear the door slam, they alert other dogs that said, I don't know what happened, but something must have happened. Oh, oh, oh. And you can hear it going right down through the neighborhood, all over. Pretty soon, amen, on every block, there must be at least 10 dogs. Do you think maybe 8 dogs? There's a bunch of dogs in the neighborhood. If you walk off the road, amen, just to get out of the way of a car, you got to watch where you step. I'm telling you, there is dogs in the neighborhood. And some of it was left there by my own 2 dogs. But anyway. But it's just off the roadway. People shouldn't be walking there, you know. Hey, that's an easement. That don't belong to nobody but the county. Anyway, stay in the easement, Sophie. Stay in the easement. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody's got riding mowers now. They just hear a squish and keep right on going. Amen. It don't bother them too much till they go to put it back in the shed. But anyway, God is so good. Amen. The dogs, I love the way God is so absolutely committed to the... When He delivers, amen, He delivers so completely. The Bible said there was not one feeble man. He brought them out with silver and gold. That means you're not going to have to be indebted to any of the nations as you travel. Amen. I don't want you coming under some kind of yoke. Amen. amen, I want you free to serve me and worship me. Can you say, amen? And then he told him, he said, not there was not one feeble one. That means 3 million people went on the move, and there was a lot of people sickly and feeble and up in years. He strengthened them for the journey supernaturally. Can you say, amen? Just because your body's aging, if God has something for you to do, don't ever say, I'm too old to do it. Amen. No, you can do it through his grace and his strength. Commit yourself to God things instead of just things for yourself. And the Bible said that your health will spring forth speedily. Isaiah 58 says, amen, if you will deal out your bread to the hungry, in other words, start doing things that help other people and quit thinking about yourself, God will strengthen you to be a blessing to other people. Amen. And not hide yourself from your own flesh. Help your own kin. Can you say, man, hallelujah, when you can? Don't spoil them. Don't do things they can do for themselves, but help them when they really need it. If you have it within you to help them. If you do this, the Bible said your health will spring forth speedily. Say it with me. My health will spring forth speedily. Glory be to God. Amen. There was not one feeble one among them, because God has always been a healer, amen, and a helper. And he can supernaturally prepare us for anything within his will. And then the Bible said, and the dogs were not even able to bark. He didn't just shut to the mouth of the lions. He shut to every dog's mouth in Egypt was clamped shut, and he couldn't utter a guttural sound of a growl or a bark. And God's people walked out in a dead silence, and the dogs watched and wondered at this great movement of people. Not one dog could bark. This was holy. It was supernatural. It was God's doing. And when they got to the Red Sea, amen, and the Pharaoh decided, you know, in his rage, now there's all of this death and destruction in Egypt, and now he decides, I want vengeance, I want vengeance, I want vengeance, I want to kill them all. He put the mightiest army in the world at that time, amen, on alert, and sent them in pursuit of these people who had walked out, amen, that he'd previously let go. Now he wants them dead. He killed them all. Don't leave a man, woman, boy, or girl. He didn't want them back as slaves. He wanted them all dead. Slaughter them is what he wanted. It was a vengeful thing he was after. Amen. And he sent his army. And it was getting dusk, and they had arrived at the Red Sea. It was going down. That sea didn't just part. It didn't just open up. Amen. Listen, sometimes you pray and you think, you know, God is just going to open the way, so I never have to stand in faith. I never have to practice patience. All I have to do is just wave my rod. Oh, there's a problem. Whoosh. It's gone. My rod of faith. I got some trouble in my family. Whoosh. It's gone. Hallelujah. Oh, I can't wait to get to church and sing his praises. Oh, do you ever find out faith don't work that way? And God don't even work that way. Amen. He doesn't, does he? Oh, man, I'm having a bad day. Wait a minute. Wait, where's my rod? Wait, I'm having a bad day, Lord. Wait. Oh, wouldn't it be great if faith was a rod that you can use at your discretion over anything that you want to use, like a magic wand? Oh, Terry sure is grouchy today. Woo! Hallelujah! And he just say, oh, I love you, brother. Amen, I love you. I love everybody. I love everybody at work. I want to give my boss a big old hug. Oh, boss man, you look like you need a hug. I don't think so. No. There was a time that God let him use that. It was in God's timing. He didn't even know what God could do. We've got faith as a cure-all. We don't develop in patience. We don't go through anything. We got so hyper in our faith, amen, so way out in our faith. We said, I don't have any problems. All I have is solutions. Can you say amen? I thought we all have the solution, and that's trusting God. But if you think you don't have problems, amen, one of your problems is that you need a brain implant. In this... Do they have such a thing? In this world, you shall have tribulation. Jesus Christ said that. And you know what tribulation is? It's the Greek word. I want to teach and try to make it a little fun today. But you know, this Greek word for tribulation is thelpsis. T-H-E-L-P-S-I-S. Thelpsis. And you know what the rendering of that is? The meaning? It means pressure, anguish. In this world, this fallen world, with an enemy of your soul called the devil, with a culture that is counter your Christian walk, with a weak flesh that is always combating and warring with your spirit. It creates tension and pressure. That's why the peace of God is so vital to victory. Can you say, man, you can have peace in the midst of the storm, and you can have peace in the midst of this battle, and part of that peace is knowing that God can supernaturally sustain you, and God can supernaturally deliver you. Amen. But He doesn't deliver you from most of the situations. Have you discovered that? Most of the time He takes you through them. Yea, though I never experience any of the possible dangers of the valley of death. No, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For why? Am I left alone? Is God aloof in His heaven? No, because Thou art with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, God is with you in your trial, in your test, in your temptation. And God was with Israel when He brought them out. But it didn't look like He was with them after they got out. Did you know the danger, the impending doom that they sensed? It actually eclipsed all of the miracles He wrought to bring them out. And they were beginning to question God. We know that by a statement that was made in retrospect. Can't help but question God. He brought us out, but there's nowhere to go. He brought us out, but we're indefensible against this great army. We can see the dust from their chariots over those hills. They're coming. An army that big, they might have been able to literally feel the quaking of the ground as they got close. Chariots and horses, and tens of thousands of armed troops with one mandate from Pharaoh, and that is kill all of those Hebrews. Show no mercy. And here they are. You talk about the devil in the deep blue sea. This was Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, and there's no place to go, and there's no evidence that God is around anywhere. Amen? And the only thing that saved their bacon, as far as they were thinking, was the sun went down before that enemy got to them. And so the enemy didn't want to come by night. The enemy camped because they knew they're boxed in. They have nowhere to go. At first light in the morning, they're against the Red Sea. There's no place to hide. You can run, but you cannot hide. We will rest here tonight, and in the morning, we will fall upon them and destroy them. You talk about a night. They had a night. Amen. Weeping may last for a night. Everyone is going to know some of those nights. But be assured of this, no matter how dark the night, joy comes in the morning. And I don't mean that you just wake up and say, "Woo, I feel good today," right in the midst of your trial. No, it means you become aware of the fact that God is in control, that God is going to come through, that He may wait till the last minute, but if you keep your faith in Him, God is going to come through. Hebrews chapter 10 says you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for He that shall come will come, and He will not tarry. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise in this place. He will come and save you. But He'll come in His timing. And this God usually waits until there's no way out to show up, so that no one can say that your ingenuity, that some ally of yours, that somebody else came through. They know there is a God in Israel. There is a God in your life. Can you say amen? And God also waits till the last minute. Not only that it's clear that it had to be God, but He waits till the last second sometimes, amen, to develop our patience. The Bible said, be followers of them through faith and what? Patience. inherit the promises. I see some people preaching faith today that because of the great wealth and notoriety they've been given, they don't have the problems you and I face in that area. They really don't. Amen? They get depressed, they take a week off and go to Hawaii. We get depressed, we get up and go to work. Amen? Amen? We have to do what we've got to do. You take care of your daughter, whether you feel good, whether you feel bad. You don't say, I'm going to get the nanny to watch my daughter for a week, and I'm going to take off and I'm going to go to Paris. I'm going to sit at a little restaurant and sip coffee and eat croissants. Wouldn't that be nice? There are people that can do that, honey. Yeah, they can do that. He said, life's getting tough. I need a week in Fiji. I need to go to Sandals, and that's not down at the Payless shoe store either. We get depressed, we go to the Payless shoe store, get some sandals. Where you been? Got sandals. Not some club somewhere, some spa, $1,000 a day. We can't do that. Christian, listen, folks, the world, there are people that think faith. Listen, be ye followers of them who through faith just solve all their problems with their faith wand. No, but faith and patience inherit the promise. Yeah. Well, how do you get patience? Amen. If a man's preaching to me and he hadn't been through something that pushed him to his limits and brought him into a humble state where only the mercy and power of God could deliver him or her, I don't want to hear a thing they have to say. Because I'm not to follow people who just have faith and haven't developed in patience, because the authentic Christian goes through trials, not avoids all trials. Can you say amen? In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Well, how does that help me? Because this one who is the world overcomer said, and I will never leave you. And I, who have overcome the world, will never forsake you. Can you say amen? And what you cannot do on your own, the great overcomer within you can help you to do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise in this place. And how do you get patience? The Bible said tribulation worketh patience. My beloved brethren, James chapter 1, think it not strange, the fiery trial that's come upon you. You know, he's telling over and over again, it constantly, there is a message from the Word that is telling people that God develops us through trials. It doesn't mean he lets them overcome us. It doesn't mean he lets the devil loose to hurt us or destroy us. He just said, when you fall into these various temptations and these mighty trials that may come to your life, don't think God has abandoned you. He that will come, he that shall come will come. Deliverance will come. Amen. Yes. If you keep your trust in him, it will come, because God is in control of the situation. I used to say this, and I say it again today. The devil turns up the heat and turns on the heat, but God controls the thermostat. Yes. And there's a scripture for that statement. Amen. God will not allow you to be tempted above that. He didn't. No, I've heard that quoted the wrong way. He won't put no more on you. God is not putting it on you. The devil puts it on you. God controls the situation because he's God Almighty and he's able to subdue everything unto himself. He said, what the devil means for evil, Joseph said, because there's one mightier than him who is in ultimate control. Even though it looks bad, God can still use it. And he did. God meant it for evil. I mean, the devil meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Who's going to win that? God always wins that if we'll stick with him through it and trust him. Can you say amen? He brought me to this place. These negative things that were meant for my destruction brought me to the place of God's eternal purpose in my life. I'm here to see that Israel eats in the time of famine. And all this evil helped bring me to where God wanted me to be. And the devil didn't even know it. And I dare say there was times when Joseph didn't know it, but he knew God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. Commit thy way unto him. Trust also in him. And he will bring it. Your will or his? His. Whew. Let's define it today. It is not your convenience. It is not what you want when you want it. You ever seen children like that in a store? Did you ever want to whoop them? You know you can't. You know you shouldn't. But that want to rises up. Can you say, man, that child needs a, you know, it needs a good spanking. Yeah, no, they didn't even say it anymore. But anyway, child probably does need a spanking. But listen, we're God's children. And when we act like that, guess what we need? Our way? No, we need something to humble us down, cause us to come and say, people are trying to pull faith out like a rabbit out of a hat. Amen? I've never heard such teaching on faith, unbalanced teaching on faith, as we have today. God can't trust you to go through a trial by trusting Him. What kind of faith do you have? It's a fair weather faith. It's a faith that said, as long as things are good, I acknowledge God. But if things turn sour, then I get mad at heaven and I lose my faith. Well, what kind of faith is that? You can't have a perfect life without pressure. A fallen world is going to deliver pressure to your door. Every day is not going to be, I have no problems, I only have solutions. Sometimes giants will come over the hill and defy you to stand in your faith. And those giants can fall. Because he that shall come will come. And he will not tarry, but he'll do it in his time. Listen, if I was God, I wouldn't have put him through it. I wouldn't put me through it. I'd say, those poor people down there, they don't know what's going to happen in the morning. They're filled with anxiety and fear. And they're sitting down there. They were rejoicing to get out of Egypt. And here they are now saying, there's an army waiting for first light. There is a Red Sea right here. We have no place to go. We're all boxed in. So what do we do now? What do we do now? Can you say amen? Where do we go now? Have you ever been in a trial that you felt there was no way out? Let me ask you a question. Did you make it? You're here today, so you must have made it. I'll just help you. Amen. That was a rhetorical question. Did you make it? Yeah. Let me see your hands again. It's not a trick question. You're here today. You must have made it. I didn't ask you what shape you're in. I said, did you make it? Then you say, amen. I didn't ask you if you're on top of the world. I said, have you made it this far? We've come this far by faith. Doing what? Leaning on the Lord. Trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I have said He's never failed us yet. We can fail Him, but He hasn't failed us. Bible talked about a blessing and waiting long for it. Hallelujah. Abraham had to wait a long time for the blessing. He waited so long, he probably just kind of given up on it in a sense of high expectation. Amen. Because when the angels came and said, it's time, it blew his wife away. First thing a 90-year-old woman married to a 100-year-old man did was laugh. Okay. I mean, the angel said, put on that 45 I gave you. The pity-pity patter of little bitty feet's going to pity-pity patter at our house. You don't hear that playing, amen, down at the nursing home.
Thank God.
Amen. Sarah's womb is twice dead. She could never have children when she was young. Now she's went through the change. She's 90 years old and she couldn't have had children if she could have had children. And she couldn't have had children because she was barren. Abraham is 100 years old. And the angel shows up and said, it's time. Call diaper service. Get some Similac. It's time. It's time. Time for what? It's time for the promise to be fulfilled. God promised that through your seed, He would multiply and build a nation. Amen. And it's time for that seed to come forth. Hallelujah. Oh, but God's waited too long. It's beyond any hope now. No. God is God. God is sovereign. God is king. God is in control. Can you say amen? God can do the supernatural. He doesn't need, amen, everything to be scientifically, logically, reasonably in order for Him to work. When He says, it's time, let my people go, means just that, let them go. I'm going to take them if you don't let them go. But I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to use politics or diplomacy. Hallelujah. By the way, when you declare Jesus the Lord of your life, this is not about a democracy anymore. We don't vote. Amen. We bow. And if you decide to follow Him, it won't put you in a box. It'll set you free. Maybe you could have the joy that that young lady had at the cash register. I see young people without any joy, and I'm amazed. I'm astounded. I mean, you got PS3. My son grew up with Pong. You know what Pong was? In a black and white screen on a computer, because it wasn't color on that thing, there's a little old bar this big. That's where all this stuff started with Pong. And there's a little bar that big, and there's a little white dot. And there's a little white bar over here. And with your cursor, you hit this little white dot, and it goes over that way. And Pong, ping, Pong. You hit it over here and it comes back. There's no net. There's no graphics. There's no people in the stands going, yeah, go, 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 go. I mean, it's just there. My son would sit for hours playing Pong. Yeah. And Daddy, I love to play. Hey, I still do sit with my sons and play this stuff. We used to go to Malibu. You know, take $5, split it up. Spend 2 hours. See how long I could stay at Space Invaders while they closed in. Dun, 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 dun. I'm intensely focused on this so I don't think about my troubles and trials. Should be intensely focused on Jesus, but until I can get that focus back, I'll do this. Trying to survive pastoring. And now we got everything except peace in our heart, the joy of Jesus, the thrill of His Lordship, the peace that rolls in when you know that no matter what happens, God is in control. He can use it for His eternal purpose, and He loves us. All things therefore work together for good to them that love the Lord. They may not be good, but they work together for good. It didn't say they're all going to be good. It said God will use them to bring ultimate good in your life. It didn't say every day is going to be a good day, but said God is going to take even the bad and use it for your ultimate good in the end. The end result is you win, the devil's defeated, God is glorified. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You didn't hear me. I said you win, the devil is defeated, and your God is glorified. What could be better than that? You win, He gets the glory, the enemy is out of business. Because you're praising God anyhow. You got the joy and the peace anyhow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no place to go. But God is in ultimate control. He chooses when to step in. As daylight came the next morning, the people came to Moses and they said, how shall we do? And Moses in turn went to God. Oi! Oi! I heard the comical story. I can't help but remember it while telling you this out of the Old Testament of before the rails were up in the old days of the Grand Canyon, before all the safety rails were up. The story, and this is just a story, it didn't really happen, but there's a story of a guy that got up too near the edge looking at the beautiful view, and so involved in looking at the view he wasn't watching where his feet were standing, and he slipped off and headed down into the Grand Canyon with all of that depth before you hit the bottom. Some say it isn't the fall that kills you, it's the big splat at the bottom. Can you say that? Don't worry about the fall. As long as you're falling, you're fine. But anyway, he knew he could. He grabbed out, grabbing in the thin air. But he caught a little bush that was growing out of solid rock, and it broke his fall. And it's really embedded in that rock. But he could see that, number one, his strength couldn't hold on. And number two, the bush was starting to give. And he put both hands on the bush, and he knows the bush isn't enough to hold on to. So then he does what most people do in a crisis. He suddenly gets religion. And he cries out to God and he says, God, God, help me, deliver me. and there's no voice. And then he begins to weep and cry with all his might. God, God, help me, deliver me. I repent of all my sins. I receive you. I'll never do that and this and that and this again. You know how those prayers go. I'll go to church next Sunday. I don't want you just in church. He wants you to follow Jesus. Can you say amen? Want your life changed. Anyway, he's trying to make this deal with God. And suddenly a voice comes out of heaven, a big booming voice, and says, I have heard your prayer. Just turn loose of the bush and trust me. And there's a dead silence. And then the man cries out, is there anybody else up there I can talk to? To just turn, you know, one of the easiest said phrases and hardest to apply spiritually? Yeah. Let go and let God. Oh, honey, you're going through a trial. It's really getting you down. And somebody comes up with a big old Jesus grin and says, just let go and let God.
No.
Yeah, and you know something? If it was that simple, we'd all just let go and let God, wouldn't we? But when all, amen, but most of us says, is there any other way besides absolutely? What if I let go of the one thing I know and trust in the unknown? No, you're not trusting in the unknown. You're trusting in a God who said, I'll never leave you, I will never forsake you, and has demonstrated his faithfulness all throughout the Old Testament and New, amen, in behalf of his covenant people, amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. It is the Faith Hall of Fame, amen, and it tells about not only God's deliverance from, but it tells about God's deliverance through. You'll only hear about deliverance from in most quarters, but if you keep reading, it will talk about others who he didn't deliver from things, but he took them through things. Can you say amen? How many know both are in the book of Hebrews? He delivered people from the lion's den, and he delivered people through lion's den. He delivered people from the peril of the sword, and others laid down their life, and he took them through, amen, the worst trial. But he was there with them in the trial, and he took them through with victory, and he came and comforted them. Can you say amen? Shalom, of course. So they were taking Christians to throw them off a high place and see them crushed below. And as they took them, led them up to be threw off in one of the books about that I've written, my wife was talking about of the time. It said the faces of those being led up to that place to be hurled off. You can imagine a place like in Chattanooga, amen, that great, great mountain, and this just being thrown off the very top where you fall to your death. It said the faces of those Christians that were going up that mountain, people who saw it happen, said they shone like the faces of angels. The glory of God was with them because the presence of God was with them. Can you say amen? And the grace of God was upon them. Can you say amen? So in the book of Hebrews, in this book of faith, there are those that God delivered from and those that God took through. Others would not accept deliverance by man that they might receive a greater reward in heaven. They became martyrs for the sake of Jesus Christ, and they did it willingly. And God gave them grace and strength and peace. Whatever you're going through, the Apostle Paul would say this to you today, because he said it to that generation, and it's true in all generations. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Whatever you're going through is more emotional than the actual taking out and beating within an inch of your life. I guarantee you, amen, if that were the case, a lot of the things that the devil is magnifying to us wouldn't seem so big.
Well, that's
right. Amen. Don't let this persecution of this and pressure get you down. God wants you to know he's in control. God wants you to know he loves you. God wants you to know he knows you. Did you know how far he lets me go into something before he steps in is different than what he lets her go in? You know why? Because God will not allow you. He knows your limits. You think you know your limits. You say, I can't stand anymore. God says, oh yeah, you got more. Girl, you got more. I know you got more. I know you inside and out. You think you're going to break, but I'm telling you, you're not. You think the boat's going to sink, but I'm telling you, it won't. And before I let it sink and let you break, I'm going to step in.
That's it.
God will not allow. You know what that means? God, not the circumstance, not the devil. God, not your enemies. God is in control. God will not allow means He is in control. Somebody say, He is in control. Hallelujah. You know, when I got the freedom of speaking in tongues, as we closed that, I got the freedom to speak in tongues while I was singing a song that I heard from a bluegrass group singing at our church when I first became a Christian, years, years before. And I came back to God. I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost and seeking freedom. First time I'd ever spoke in tongues. Then I had to go through a process to get free in tongues. But the first time that I ever just turned loose and glorified God in a heavenly language, I was singing a song. I'll never forget it. The name of the song was Troublesome Waters. Troublesome waters are darker than night. I remember singing the song about man's plight in a fallen world. Troublesome waters. You know, there's nothing like a storm at night. Amen. It's worse at night, isn't it? When a storm came in the book of Acts chapter 27 upon the slave ship that Paul was upon. Amen. The Bible said that it came at night. It got dark. And even though the storm wasn't necessarily much worse, it did intensify, but it was at night. And it said they fasted, all the people, even the infidels on the ship, they fasted, they prayed, they threw out everything that they didn't so the ship would not lay low in the water and therefore be more easily swamped. Suddenly the things they valued lost value in the midst of that storm. What was really important that was that God would help them through it. Can you say, man? It's amazing how purifying some trials can become.
Yes,
there are things you think you've got to have that what you really need is God's peace and God's fulfillment. Amen? Amen? If a doctor told you you had inoperable brain tumor today, it wouldn't matter whether you got a new SUV or not. Amen? You just wouldn't need it. What you need is God's deliverance. And the Bible said they longed for the day. They longed for the day. They said a storm is bad enough when you can see, but it's worse when there may be a huge wave coming. We can't even see to grab. We just stay holding on. So it's a white-knuckled night. Amen? God chooses when to step in. He didn't even step in then. He didn't stop the storm. He told Paul down in the hinder part of the ship, the ship is going to be lost. The ship you're on is going down in this storm. But you are going to be saved. And just as a bonus, all them that travel with thee, including the guys that put you on this ship taking you to Rome, the guards are going to be saved. Everybody, not one, is going to die because you're on this ship and I have a plan for you. Isn't that incredible? Who's in control of this thing? God's in control. Does your faith control that storm or does God's sovereign will control that storm? Your faith is to be in His sovereignty. Otherwise, what would we do? There's some fancy preachers out there say, well, I'd just get up, bless God, and I'd walk up there and tell that storm to be still, just like Jesus did, because I'm a little Jesus myself. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're a cocky young preacher that God's going to take down a notch before this thing is over. Can you say man? No, man is not in control. Faith is not in control. God is in control. Keep your faith in the one who's in control. Woo! Hallelujah! And what did Jesus, He told him, but you're going to be okay. The bottom line is you're going to be okay. Going to be wet, going to be shaken up, but you're going to be just fine. The Bible said they hit rocks, the ship broke apart, but some on boards and some on planks and some swimming in the water. Some holding on to the debris that couldn't swim. Others that could swim, they all came to this island. And there they sit. God delivered them. Not only did He deliver them, but there's a chieftain on that island of natives, and he's sick unto death, natives to that island, and he's sick unto death. And Paul is warming himself at a fire with everybody else, and here's the man of God, and a poisonous snake is driven out. It was picked up with the sticks to build the fire, and the poisonous snake is driven out by the fire. And out of all of those people, who does he latch on to? Who gets the bite? Paul gets the bite. Chunk! And the the fangs go in and the venom is released. And all the people of the island saw it and said, he escaped the justice of man, but not the justice of whoever's up there. Can you say amen? Because they didn't know God, but they knew there was some kind of person up there. Amen. You ever heard about the old man in the sky, the big man upstairs? Well, he's not a man at all. He's God Almighty. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know that there is a man upstairs whose name is Jesus. Amen. But he was God manifest in the flesh. But listen to me. Amen. And they watched for him. They sat down and watched him. They said, but justice has found him. Oh, if a bad thing happens to you, there's something wrong with you. No, amen, there was something right with him. The devil wanted to stop him, sent a storm first and a snake second, but God used both of them, amen, to bring revival to an island, amen. Listen, it was the will of God that he preach on that island, that they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ on that island, amen. They set out for a journey to take prisoners to Rome, but they ended up on an island because of a shipwreck and now because of a snake bite, because they're waiting for him to die. Oh, the devil sees that things happen to you, waiting for you to die, your faith to die, you to give up, to quit, to go back. Amen. But he didn't die. He snake bit, he shipwrecked, but he didn't die. Amen. And they waited for him to swell up, get fever, sweat, and fall over, but he didn't. He was unscathed by it all. Praise God. Amen. They said, our chief is sick. Would you come? Something's different. God's not trying to get you. God sent you. Amen. And all of this just proved it to us. Even the negative things. And he went and prayed. The chief got healed. The gospel was preached. God was in what? Control. Did he stop the storm? No. Did he stop the ship from breaking up? Did he stop the snake from biting him? No. Did he deliver him through it all? Yes. Did he use all of that to glorify his name? Yes. Did he still do good to his servant? Yes. Were other people blessed because of what he went through? Yes. And we're talking about today too. Is God in the trial? Yes. Is he in control? Yes. Will you be okay? Oh, yes. Amen. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come to try you, if some strange thing has happened unto you. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, who will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Woo! Everybody say, that's my God. He is in control. Hallelujah. He is in control. He is in control. He is in control. A man cursed David because of his sin. He hated David. He saw David as a terrible sinner and didn't have the right to be king. He came out. He picked up stones and he threw dust at David and he cursed him. Then he picked up a rock and hit the king. Honey, back in those days, all a king had to do was say, off with his head. Amen. You could handle your critics real easy back in those days. Can you say amen? Oh, you don't like it? Oh, you don't like it? You don't like it? You don't like it? Oh, you don't like it? Off with his head. We'll stop this critic, cut his head off. That'll do it. Every single time. David just had to lift his little finger. They'd have lobbed his head off. One of his captains said, I'll stop him. He's ready. And David said, let him alone. He knew he had done wrong. He's going to get the heat for it. God had forgiven him, but people were holding the grudge. He said, let him alone. Let him alone. See, vengeance is the Lord's. Let him alone. I just got mercy from God. I ain't going to stand here, amen, and be vengeful. If it wasn't for God's mercy, it would have been me getting it in the neck. Let him alone. Listen to this real carefully. It may be that God will requite me good for his cursing today. Whew. Don't pray that God gets your enemies. Just pray that you'll see the goodness of God in spite of anything they do.
Yeah.
Amen? Hallelujah. There are people that hate the ground I walk on that would love to hear of my demise or destruction. They would love it. They would just eat it up. But God keeps doing good for me. And it eats them up. It's better than God getting them. It just eats them up. How's Brother Venable? Oh, he's great. He's having the time of his life. He's doing well. Amen. Praise God. He's over 60, preaching like he's 30. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. I'm serious. Some people don't like to hear that. Well, why don't he go off and quit? He's getting up in years. If God was going to use him mightily, he would have already. Oh, he has already. That's the glory of this little ministry. God has used it mightily and it's still tiny, but God is still in control. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Our sign will probably be your next little stick-up sign. We're going to get a banner, put it out front that says the Holy Church of God. Hang it on a banner because you can do that without going down before the city council. God is good. Are you taking a little bit of courage today? Amen. He says to ancient Israel, when they come against you and they're determined to destroy you, I'll put a hook in their jaw and I will draw them. In other words, now there's no turning back. Just like the Pharaoh situation, God's going to do it. God is in control. God parted the Red Sea the next morning. How shall we do? Amen. He said, be still. Tell the people to hold their peace. Tell them, quit. Just stop. Stop. Stop right now. There'll be a dead silence right now. All of this anxiety expressed, just stop it. Stop it now. Stop it. Stop it. Don't call anybody else on the phone and rehash it. Stop it right now. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. God's getting ready to do a wonder. He that shall come will come. So stop doubting. Stop talking fear right now. I know you got a reason to be afraid. I'm not questioning. I'm just saying don't say it right now. Just hold it right now. Stifle it. Stifle it right now. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. And in that silence of trust, didn't say nothing about my breathing. Amen. What do you have in your hand? I got the rod you gave me, Aaron's rod that budded. Stretch it out toward the Red Sea. See, he's not asking you to deliver yourself. He's asking you to trust in him. Follow his word. That's all the man did. You think you're capable of doing that? God gave you Aaron's rod and said, stretch it out. Is that your faith causing that to happen, or is your faith in him and he causes that to happen? It's your faith in him. Can you say amen? All he's asking you to do is, by faith in his word, stretch out the rod. Who's going to do that? Your faith is going to act on that? No, your faith moves the hand of God. God moves on the circumstance. They're really a misnomer as mountain-moving faith, except it be explained in this way. I put my trust in God who can move mountains. Can you say amen? Because your faith is not a force that gets things done. Everything goes through God. God has to move on that. Not by might and the power, even the power of your faith, but the power of your God. It's easier to have faith in God than faith in your faith, because if you have a bad day and a lot of trials, your faith can become shaken and weakened. But your God is not touched by all of that. Isn't that good? You can still believe and you can still receive. Hallelujah. And the Red Sea parted. And they saw God's wonder. He stepped in at the last possible second. But everybody knew this is God. Hallelujah. And we have learned to trust him. But after all of that, when they come through the Red Sea, delivered from the mightiest army in the world, saw the miracle plagues, and yet here they are in the miracle provision and the water from the rock. They saw every wonder God could pour out. Magnificent miracles. And they got up against this land with giants in it and fierce armies and walled cities. And they said, oh my goodness, we can't. Oh, God brought us out here to die in the wilderness. Amen. So wonders don't do it all. You need to know God enough to trust him. The Bible said that Israel saw his wonders. But Moses, who he met with at the tent of meeting, Moses knew his ways. Moses knew his God. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. You got to know him enough to trust him. You can't just say, I'm going to trust God like the Bible said. No, you got to come to know God. Trust follows that knowledge, that intimacy, to where you begin to figure out God is in control and God loves me and I can trust in him. I can literally, if he tells me to, I can turn loose of what I think my security is. And God will not let me fall. Now to him it's able to keep you from falling and present you how? In spite of all that's against you, faultless on that day. Can you say amen? Is anybody here getting encouragement to go with God through your trial and give Him a chance for His name to be glorified and you to be delivered and to develop your patience in the process? How many are ready to follow them who through faith and patience inherit their promises? Not just them who don't even talk about trials and tests, just talk about the magic wand of faith. Can you say, man? How many know it's different in Scripture than it is on many television broadcasts? I can't follow anybody that's not going through things. Because that's not faith and patience. Tribulation worketh patience. It's the people that have been tested and tried and stood true. That's who I want to follow. Because their faith is a pure faith. And they trust God even when it's dark. And even when they weep in the dark. Because they know inside joy comes in the morning.